Isn't it good to see children in the church again after such a long time with COVID? And we will pray for the children with COVID in the schools as well. All right, let me just talk to you for a moment. Has anyone had a soul-destroying job? You know, the sort, you know, all day entering, I don't know, computer data or sticking things on an assembly line back and or you're sweeping floors. Anyone had that sort of job at one time? Yeah. Another one? Anyone else? Yeah, a few. Oh, dear. Well, can I ask what you did? Anyone want to say?
Stripping wallpaper.
Stripping wallpaper. And that was your job? Oh, goodness gracious.
We used to roll Swiss rolls, didn't we, Mom?
Rolling Swiss rolls. Oh, goodness. Anything else? Right.
And
that not even a paid job either. Oh, gracious. I mean, some of us, we have those experiences, don't we? Some of us where we feel rather devoid of life and you think, oh, why? Why? And it may be because of work. Maybe it's because you're feeling ill and you think, oh, gosh, isn't life terrible? Or a bit of stress or something's wrong with your relationship. And we say, this isn't what I thought life would be. And I like this quote, which I came across. It says, our hunger for significance is a signal of who we are and why we are here. I mean, our stomachs tell us it's time for food, don't it? Oh, sometimes it tells us, I just want food. But, you know, eat, you need energy. And equally, something in us says we're meant to count for something. Either we're meant to be something, aren't we? And for Christians, in a way, that can be a problem, because if you're meant to be happy and filled with joy and purpose, what if you don't? What if you're not? Knowing Jesus doesn't make any difference to my life. Have you ever said that? I'm sure we all go through moments like that. And we think, in some ways we think it's like Jesus giving us a food parcel. But it's soup and chopsticks. Try that. Impossible to eat without making a mess. And we say, if I'm to follow Jesus, what should my life look like? How can I do that as a mum, as a clerk, as a plasterer, as retired, as someone splitting plants, as someone rolling, you know, Swiss rolls, all that sort of thing. In other words, what does the Jesus life look like? And we read this in John chapter 10. Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. And he's saying, you know, your religious leaders, those people trying to lead you, are meant to take care of you, but they bring no nourishment. They're disconnected from God. And that's a sort of ouch statement. I am the gate, he said. In other words, I'm the one who gives that life-giving life, that relationship in which people are fed. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And he contrasts, doesn't he, two leaderships. Either that sort of oppression which saps energy or the life of Jesus which is nourishing. Have life to the full. And me, being slightly pedantic, I like looking at the Greek for these things. And the Greek for to the full is perissos. Remember that, perissos. It means more than necessary, surpassing, truly radical, absolutely fantastic. I mean, the sort of, wow, if one family got that lot, that would be perissos. It's more than necessary. It's wonderful. And that's what Jesus has for us, he says. We sometimes think it means doing dramatic things and having a dynamic presence and speaking to crowds. Billy Graham and Mother Teresa have life to the full, but not me. But Jesus says this is for normal people, you and me. And when Jesus talks about life, he doesn't mean it starts when you die. It's for now. It feeds us now with the harvest of his love. And this harvest then, can I say a few things that I hope will encourage you? And that's what harvest is about, isn't it? It's encouragement. It's about remembering what God has given us and thanking him. But firstly, It seems to me from what the Bible says that a Jesus life means accepting our role in the world. And that means saying, what's my purpose? Why am I here? Have you ever said that? And we see that in Genesis 1, God said, let us make mankind, or these days humankind, in our image, in our likeness. You're designed to reflect God, his character, his presence, and his love, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and all these other things, everything that moves. We are to care for all that God made. Not just the food, the planet, the environment, the poor, all under his loving rule. Adam and Eve weren't made just to dance naked and eat all day, nice as it might sound. They were to care for creation, and that's our calling. We sometimes forget that. Harvest is great because it reminds us of not only of God's love, but also to share our bounty with others. Share the gifts God's given us. But it goes deeper. We have a sort of stewardship that weaves into our relationships. The people we meet aren't there for us to say, what can I get out of them to make me feel better? They are there so that we can serve them in loving care, fulfilling our calling. You know, in 2007, how long ago was that? 14 years ago, a report said, it's highly likely that mankind has affected global warming. Were they right? Together we have a responsibility of care for one another, yet many live in loneliness and depression, and a chasm grows between the rich and the poor. That's not God's design. Romans 8 says, creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Creation waits for you and for me to take on our role under God. And Jesus said in Matthew, you are the light of what? The world. You know, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. So a lamp's no good like that. It's to get under a bowl. Anything else, you'll melt the bowl. But instead they put it on a stand, he said, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. There's a call for us, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are to reflect God's care. So our purpose, I suggest this morning, isn't to say, this life is about fulfilling my needs, my desires. Our purpose is to respond to who God is with all that we are, living as he designed us to do. So can I suggest something? Jesus talks about life under his leadership, being submitted to him. So this week, take a moment and just sit down at some time, you know, in your busy lives, and ask yourself, to whom or what have I submitted my life? What am I really worshipping? We are meant to reflect who God is and live in that. If we don't submit to God, we will only bow down to other things. And whatever or whoever you worship, you start to reflect their characters. The preacher N.T. Wright said, those who worship money become human calculators. Those who worship sex become obsessed with their own attractiveness or prowess. Those who worship power become more and more ruthless. And harvest is a great reminder, isn't it, of the true order. You and I were designed to reflect God. If we don't let that happen, we'll be hijacked by what you might call any other gods. And it's no good saying, when I find that perfect life, you know, or when I find that perfect partner, my life will start. Or when I get into that perfect job, life will be great. It starts now. It's about what's inside. And Jesus valued faithfulness in what we are given. He said in Luke 16, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So it's about now, about being faithful with what we have now. And that reveals our character. My dad used to love saying, oh, it builds character, when I complain about something. Yeah. Why is this? Why have I got to do that? It builds character. And we might say, you know, if I had more money, I'd be more generous. And that's probably not true. If you're not generous now with what you've got, you won't be more generous if you had more. I'd work harder if I had more responsibility. Probably not. You'd probably still be lazy. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, each one should remain in the situation in which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although if you can gain freedom, do so. We can embrace full life in what we have. The gospel isn't dependent on you getting different circumstances. It can be lived out in whatever context we're in. Jesus says, never will I leave you. Wonderful, isn't it? Full life is found now. And it makes me think, what would our community be like? Not just our chapel, but our community around us, if we all live like this. If we really learn to serve one another, to give to each other, what an incredible environment that would produce. What if we determine to serve well now? You know, not leave work early when you're not supposed to. Not surf on the net in office time when you're not supposed to. People will notice, and you'll have a way to influence people for Jesus. What if we are all faithful in our giving and our time and using our gifts and talents? The world could change, bit at a time. This harvest then, why not make a list of who or what God has given you? You know, we've been given so much. Even if it doesn't feel like a gift. What have I got? Children. No, children's a gift. Marriage, people, job, money, possessions. And then choose some of them and ask, what would radical faithfulness look like in those areas? For example, it might mean saying, what does it mean to love and serve faithfully in my marriage? Have I been like that? Or your job, and so on. And then do it. And the full life of Jesus is lived now, here. That's our harvest, I suggest. This is harvest, and that's a harvest of our lives. It won't always be exciting, but it's true life. Paul wrote, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Harvest, wonderful, speaks of an annual renewal of all things that are good and nourishing. Equally, our renewal is now. The world wait for us to get this right. Amen.